Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time this morning. You tune me in by the way of Ionia, WION, I-1430 AM, or 92.7 FM, over in the low Ada area, 100.3 FM. Others will tune me in by the way of Greenville, WGRM, 106.3 FM, at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others will tune me in by the way of earsradio.com, and some have tuned me in by the way of my website. Whatever way you tune me in, I'm glad to have you be a part of the service this morning. I also need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of my broadcast. We have three sponsors: Gloria Spencer, she lives in Orleans in memory of her husband Spence, and then Bill and Judy Hammond, they are from the building area, and they are good sponsors as well, and also Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years. And still, when I can, I attend there as well. And also, we remember that we got a message for this morning. It comes to us from May of 2014, a message that I preached. There had been a lot of anger and so on shown in people's lives, and I shared that message at that time, and now we're back to it's the same kind of thing. I think the anger's a lot worse right now. And I thought we needed to hear a message about the gentleness of Jesus. The gentleness of Jesus coming into your life and into my life. And as I close my time and share the message with you, I want to have a prayer for the listening audience. Dear Father, we come into your presence once again. And we do so on behalf of the listening audience. Pray that you will bless them today as we hear this message, all the anger and so on there is in our nation today. I pray that you speak to our hearts about the gentleness of the Lord Jesus. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Well, as we get started this morning, we're just going to start out right away thinking about freedom. So I got a song I want us to listen to, and the song is just entitled exactly that, Freedom. So as we get ready to listen to that and just get ready for God's blessing to think about our nation, America, and God's goodness to us, why then this song will help us to get started. Here we go. Hang on.
Our freedom.
My soul was shackled, I was in despair. The weight of the world had kept me there. The chains grew stronger every day. I owed a debt that I could not pay. Then I heard about a man from one of my friends, a man who could forgive and forget my sins. I opened my heart and he walked right in. And pardon he brought with him. He taught me all about
freedom that the world can't know. Freedom that'll not let go. Freedom, all you need to know. The cross paved the way for freedom. Calvary purchased our freedom.
Long ago on a hill far away,
Calvary purchased our freedom.
They had Jesus out of the way.
Now we purchased our freedom.
They hung him on a cross and they put him in a tomb.
Now we purchased our freedom.
Satan laughed in the cold and gloom.
Now we purchased our freedom. just our freedom.
Then the thunder rolled, Jesus opened his eyes. The angel rolled the big stone aside. Jesus stood up and he walked right out. He broke Satan's chains, now I have to shout. I'm shouting about freedom,
freedom that the world can't know. Freedom that'll not let go. Just our freedom,
freedom that the world can't know.
Freedom
that'll not let go.
Freedom,
all you need to know.
The cross paved the way for freedom. Now we purchased our freedom,
freedom
that the world can't.
Wow, what a powerful song that is it not? Powerful to get us started in this idea about freedom and what it means to each one of us. And the freedom that we're going to be talking about this morning is freedom as a nation. But that freedom comes about as you and I realize the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus and how he has come to set us free from the bondages of our life. So then we can be a part of the good freedom that can be a part of American way of life as well. We'll be talking about that in just a moment, but before we do, let's just bow together and just have a little prayer this morning for America. Have a little prayer for all the men and women in armed services. Have a little prayer for those that's gone on before us and how they have protected the freedoms that we have today. And some have paid a supreme price for those freedoms. And so we just want to pause and think about the goodness of our nation and the blessing of our nation. And, you know, I've never been out of this country only to go to Canada. So I just got to believe that this is a pretty special place, this thing called America. And I have a pretty special place in my heart for our flag and for the things that we stand for. So let's just bow for a moment of thanksgiving. Father, oftentimes we need to pause and just thank you for the freedoms that we have. Through your Son, the Lord Jesus, you've given us freedom in our soul, freedom in our mind and our heart, to know that we've been set free from the bondage of sin, to know that we've been set free from those things that have controlled us in days gone by, and that your Son has been one that's brought that about. But Father, we live in a nation. We live in a nation that was founded upon your word. We live in a nation where that was what they were looking for, was freedom, as they came from the other side of the ocean and as they decided they wanted to bring into existence what we call the United States of America. And Father, you have been good to our nation. You have blessed our nation in many wonderful ways. And as we come to you this morning, we just want to thank you for America. We want to thank you for our leaders. We want to thank you for all the men and women in armed services. We want to thank you, Father, for those individual people and whatever role of leadership they have as they lead this great nation, America. Father, we don't want to just take for granted and just take the political sides that often we hear about our nation. We don't even want to take just the news sides and things that we hear about our nation. Father, we want to seek your face and ask that you will make America what she's supposed to be in your sight, as what you think about us today and what your design and purpose is for each and every one of us. So we're going to spend some time spelling out the word freedom. And as we do, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts in a very special way. And I'll thank you and praise you for that in that wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, America, and the word freedom. This morning, what I'd like to do is spell out the word freedom for you. Give you something from the scripture for each of the words, F-R-E-E-D-O-M. and give you something for them letters that can teach us and show us the privileges and the responsibilities that we have as individuals. But as I do so, what I kind of wanted to do this morning and what I've done throughout this week is explain freedom as the idea that you and I are going to ring the bell for freedom. And if we're going to ring the bell, we have an old church bell yet at our church, and they ring it, you know. In order to ring it, you got to have a rope. And that rope goes up to the bell, and then as they pull it, that rings the bell. And I want to think about that rope, that piece of rope that pulls and rings the bell for freedom. And I want to think about what that piece of rope might look like and the different strands that it has. You know, the best kind of rope they can make even this day and age is that which is woven together with individual strands. And I like the rope. I like the idea of things woven together because I think there's a necessity in my life and your life to have some things woven together. So we're going to weave together a piece of rope this morning. That piece of rope's going to be used to pull the bell that rings for you and I, the idea of freedom. Well, I just get started with that. There's a scripture verse in the book of Ecclesiastes that I like to use whenever I'm talking with a young couple about marriage, about a threefold cord. A triple braided rope is not easily broken, it says in Scripture. You take three cords of rope and wind it together, and it becomes strong. One of the things that I like to share with people, young couples, when they come for marriage, is the idea one strand of that rope is theirs, and I got a rope that I use to describe that. One strand of the rope is their individual lives. That makes up two strands. And then I like to put in the center of that God and our relationship to Him. And I like to think of husband and wife in love with one another. That love can help their marriage. But I also like to think that if that marriage is woven around God, woven around the things of God, that marriage is going to be a lot stronger. So one of the things that I do when I do that is take the two pieces of rope and wind it together and say, now, many marriages can be built in this way. And many lives in America can be built in this way as we think about it for the 4th of July. It's the interwoven of family lives and interwoven of different people's lives with different people within our nation. And sometimes it's groups of people who've had their lives woven together within our nation because of what they stand for as individuals and as a group of people. But then when I put the third rope in there, what I like to share, and this is a part that I'm thinking of for my message today for this idea of let freedom ring. When we put that rope of God in the center, and then we weave those three ropes together, I like to share with them that, you know what, their marriage could be strong with their ropes, their two strands of rope woven together. But when I put that third cord in there, then that automatically becomes stronger. And the only reason we can find out the reason why that is so much stronger is because it seems like each strand seems to draw strength from the other strand of rope. And so this morning I'm going to be using seven strands and put them all together and say this is the strong rope that we can use to ring the bell for freedom. And if we put these things to practice in our life, I believe we will be a strong rope to ring the bell for freedom. God says this when we're thinking about putting God at the center of our nation, the center of our lives. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and blessed are the people He has chosen for His own. That's blessed, God said. That's a blessed place to find yourself. So we're going to be saying it many times, I trust you, our time. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. And for the F of freedom, I'd like to share with you, I believe it is faith. If we're going to have freedom, we got to have faith. And God reminds us in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. One of the things that God brings to our lives is this idea of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He wants us to know that. Faith was the foundation for our fathers, forefathers. When they decided to build this nation called America, when they designed her, it was all based around the fact of faith, faith in God, faith in His Word, and faith in one another. And faith is a thing that really pleases God. So if we want this strong rope to be a part of the idea of pulling this rope for freedom, you and I need to have one of the strands be that it has to do with faith. That faith is tremendously important for us to get a hold of. Faith is something that just causes us to have a realization that gives us power and strength that is beyond ourselves. Probably because of the way God describes faith. He says, now faith is assurance of things we expect. And the convincing us of existence of things that we cannot see. When they forefathers founded our nation, it was founded upon faith, the assurance of things they were expecting. When they wrote our Constitution and those things that made us America, they put into her the things that they were expecting, not just for their generation, but for all the generations to come. And not only that, they were convinced of the existence of things that they couldn't see. They had no idea, I'm sure, what America would grow into being. But at the same time, they had in their minds and their hearts, they had the idea that it was going to be something that was very special. This nation was going to be something that was very special. And I believe that's the way you and I ought to look at it today. I think sometimes we get into trouble when we think the best years of America has already been here. We need to begin to think and believe that the best years of America are yet to come. But I do believe we need to get back to that idea of saying we need some faith. We need some faith in our nation. We need some faith in the Word of God. We need some faith in God Himself. We need faith in one another. As you and I listen today to what others are describing us, we see that sometimes faith is left really far away. And then for the R of freedom, FR, for the R, it is responsibility. That there needs to be a sense of responsibility. That every single American needs to have a sense of responsibility towards our nation. Our nation does need to have a sense of responsibility to its people. But I believe that's a two-way street. In the book of 1 Timothy, Apostle Paul was talking to a young pastor by the name of Timothy, and this is what he said. I urge you, Timothy, first of all, that requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all of those in authority, that we may live a peaceable and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and this is pleasing to God our Savior. God is saying, now listen, Christian people, and He's saying it to all of us. I urge you to make some prayers for your nation. I urge you to make some intercession. I urge you to give some thanksgivings for your nations. And as a matter of fact, for your nation, I encourage you to do it for everybody that makes up the nation, I think is what God is saying. Yes, for kings. Yes, pray for those in authority. And the purpose of all of this is that we might live a peaceable and quiet lives in all goodliness, godliness, and holiness. We have for the second strand a rope of prayer. It's the idea of asking God to bless this nation, America. Now, I ask myself, as I ask you, when's the last time we prayed for our nation? When's the last time we prayed for our president? When's the last time we prayed for those people, those men and women? We've complained about them a lot. I have, you have, probably all of us have. But he's telling us, lose the power of prayer. Come to God in prayer, seeking to know that understanding for those people who are in those places of leadership. We need to come to them, come and ask God to bless them. That's our responsibility. I believe our forefathers accepted their responsibility when they founded this country on faith. I believe that's something passed on to you and I. And the maintenance of faith, I believe, is tremendously important. But one of the ways that I believe this is only going to be accomplished is as you and I realize that we play a big part in maintaining this foundation. And some of it has to do with picking up our responsibility, picking up the responsibility that you and I have. And I like the way that Paul said this to Timothy. I urge you to tell other people to make sure they're praying for one another. Make sure they're praying for our national leaders and so on. This foundation of responsibility is something that every single one of us has to pick up what is our part of doing. Someone has said, if you're not a part of the problem of America, then you're a part of the healing of America. If you think America needs healing and you're not a part of the problem, then I believe you can be a part of the cure. And one of the ways, I think, is that we don't pray enough for our nation. We don't pray enough for our leaders. We don't ask God to give them some direction. We don't ask God to give them some conviction. I found a picture of Abraham Lincoln sitting on that big chair as we have him down in Washington, D.C. It says, responsibility. You cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. We need to make sure we're picking up the responsibility that we should have in our lives today, because we need to realize every single one of us carries a bit of responsibility. Before I have a song, I want to cover a couple more of these letters that I'd like to share with you. You know that first strand of rope was freedom. Second strand for freedom was F. The second strand was R. So if we're going to ring the bell for freedom, let's add a couple more strands. I'd like to add the strand of education. It needs to be something that is whereby we learn that we need to have some truth taught to us. And that truth of education is something that is tremendously important for each one of us to get a hold of. And in that education, we realize that there's something that God has for each one of us that I believe is tremendously important. So let me share the education in this way, in this kind of a way. What I'm really saying is that you and I have to be willing to be a learner. We have to be willing to be a student. And I'd like to have us listen to Jesus and what he's speaking about, the idea of freedom. And from listening to Jesus, we can see where we can pick up our responsibility. And we can pick up the idea that we're learning some things that's going to help us to carry out that faith and to carry out that responsibility. Let's listen to Jesus as he was teaching, saying, many people believed in him as he was teaching. So Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you live by what I say, you are truly my disciples. Now listen to what he's saying next. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He went on to say, if you shall be set free by the Son, S-O-N, Jesus, you shall be free indeed. God is saying, do you understand this idea of freedom? This idea of freedom comes for you and I to get to know what is the truth. What is the truth? What can we build for us to learn? What do we need educated about? We need some education about what the truth is. And the truth is something that does not bring you back into bondage, but instead it sets you free. In order for us to fully understand the freedom we enjoy as Americans, we need to learn of the freedom of Jesus that he gives to us when we believe in him, that he sets us free from whatever's been holding us bondage, so that we have the privilege to understand our part in making America free. William Penn said, "If you're not governed by God, you will be ruled by tyrants." He said that a long time ago, but some of that reality is just like it was written today, just like it was written at this period of time in your life and my life. And God is reminding us. We need to learn what it is. Somebody might say, you know, what it is for America to have freedom is each one of us can have our own individual rights, and we just can have those rights and use those rights, and I believe in that also. But you know what he's saying? When my rights infringe upon the rights of others, that causes difficulty. So God is saying we've got to have some source of truth that we can come to. Otherwise, each one of us is going to draw up our own source of what we think is truth. And Jesus is saying, what the truth is I can set you free. And that freedom that I give to you can be a part of the education of your life to help you to understand how to enjoy freedom within your nation of America. But it isn't just freedom, because there's two E's. It's also this idea that we need something that has energized us, something that goes beyond us. And you know, I believe with all my heart that God has created us as a wonderful being. And I believe many times we as American people, we just as individuals, can draw from that and not even believe in God and not even think about God, but we can draw from the determination of the way that God created us. I love the determination he's given. I love the idea of how he's made us want to search and seek and to do the things that we've been able to do. Many things have been brought about, wonderful things, as American people, as they use the ingenuity and the wisdom and all that stuff that they have. That makes us us. But at the same time, sometimes our energy isn't enough. Now, when I'm thinking of energy, I am not thinking of that bunny, Energizer bunny. I want to think more of an eagle. I imagine that most of us at some time or another has had a time when we have laid on the ground and looked up in the sky. I know I've done it many times. And what's an eagle in the sky? As it soars from place to place. Sometimes it can even be a hawk. But watch as it soars. And I've always loved it when God takes the things that he created in nature and he shares it as illustrations for us to learn something by. So way back in the Old Testament, God took a verse from the book of Isaiah. And this is what he says. But of those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They shall soar on the wings of the eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. As I've laid on the ground and watched an eagle just soar, the little tipping of his wings, one side to another. You know what that eagle does? He takes the enemy to the eagle is the wind. But through his feathers, he's able to take that wind and use it for his benefit as he soars high above all of the difficulties of life and seems to do it so easy and seems to do it so naturally. It is God, folks, in your life and my life that energizes us. It's not the Energizer Bunny. It's God. God that gives us that strength beyond ourselves to do the things that we need to do so that our nation itself can become the nation that God intended it to be. It is that kind of a thing that causes us to recognize and to realize that God is saying, it's the energy I want to give to America as a nation. And it's the energy I want to give to the individuals that make up that nation. But I believe this is the way it works, unless I get shown differently. I believe it works from the individual to the nation. I don't believe they can do anything in Washington, D.C. that's going to energize you as much as when we place our faith and trust and hope in God. And we gain that energy from Him that helps us to make America a place of freedom, to make America greater than she is at this moment. It is that freedom that comes from God. That's why I mentioned a while ago that we needed to make sure that we have prayer. So let's pause for a few moments and listen to a song that is just given a cry out for prayer warriors, for people who might lift this nation America up in prayer, and that God's blessing might be upon this nation as we seek His face and ask for His blessing to be a part of our own individual life. And we need that for ourselves, and we need it for our nation. So I'll come right back in just a few moments, but God bless each one of you as we listen in. What a mighty army we're talking about, but not an army of guns, not an army of tanks, but an army of prayers. People praying and asking God's blessing upon this nation. People praying and asking God's sense of direction. We've been putting together a rope that we might ring the bell for freedom. And we have added a strand of faith. We have added the strand of responsibility. We begin to weave in the strand of education and the strand of energizing. Now we need to add the strand of direction, that we need some direction. I like that verse when it says, "Blessed is a nation whose Lord is God." Blessed is that nation, and that's a wonderful thing for us to get a hold of. And we need to know that we need this strand of dedication. This is where we're looking for the fact of becoming more determined. You know, we all become complacent in our life. And the complacency in our life, sometimes we need to have something that just stops short and says, now consider this. Think about this. You know, way back in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel had become complacent. And they weren't trusting God as much as they used to. They weren't walking with God as much as they used to. They weren't giving God the attention as much as they used to give. And they went through some difficult times. Then one day the leader Joshua stood before them, and this is what he said to them. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Rather, the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, the gods of the Ammonites, in whose land you are now living. But listen to this statement now, and we need more of this today in America. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, I'm making a decision for me. I'm making a decision for my family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a sense of direction that God has given to us. And sometimes, you know, when we as a nation or we as individuals, we lose our sense of direction. We need to come back to God. You know, we've all lost our direction sometimes traveling. There's not a person that's driven the car very much that has not been lost sometime or another. Oh, I'm glad for the modern age that we got nowadays. I rely on it more than I ever thought I would. On this thing called GPS. On this kind of idea that you can speak to your telephone and ask Siri to give you directions to such and such a place. And that's pretty popular today and pretty easy to do and pretty important. I don't worry near about as much as I was traveling. But you know, you and I need to understand that way back in the Old Testament again, God gave to the nation Israel, as he gives to us as a nation of America today. God doesn't change. What he wanted then, he wants now. And he's cried out this from the book of 2 Chronicles 7:14. I believe it's God's GPS of a direction for America. I believe this verse is God's GPS for directions for your individual life. And this is what he said. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and will pray. That's what God is saying. We need to pray. If they will humble themselves and pray, they will seek my face. And they will turn from their wickedness or their wicked ways. Then God says, listen, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. That's what God brings to the table. The power to forgive our sins, the power to give healing for our land, and the idea that he'll be able to give us the strength that we need. I'll listen to you from heaven, God is saying. Now, I don't know where you're coming from in your individual life, and I'm not going to in one way even kind of destroy anything that America stands for. But I got to tell you, folks, I believe America needs us to be praying. I weep as Americans. We need to be doing what he's asking us to do. If we are his people, we need to humble ourselves before him. Sometimes we've let that pride get in our way. We've lifted ourselves above God. We've lifted ourselves above the need of God. So he said, humble yourself. If you would do that, call upon my name and pray and seek my face, saying, God, we need your help. God, America needs your help. We'll seek your face. And then there's this idea that we need to turn from some of our wickedness. Our wickedness gets us into trouble. It not only hurts us, it hurts our family, it hurts our friends. It causes us a whole lot of heaviness. God says, if you do that, I'll hear from heaven. And I'll forgive your sins, and I'll heal their land. I guess it just depends whether or not you and I believe the land needs some healing. I believe America needs a little healing. And I believe the best way for us to do that is to get that GPS direction from God. where he says, "Come on, my people, humble yourself before me. Seek my face, pray, and I will hear." That's God's promise. I believe we got to do our part before God can do his part. Can I say that again? I believe we got to do our part before God has the freedom to do his part. We're holding God at arm's length when we fail to do our part to humble ourselves, to pray and seek his face, and turn from some of that wickedness that we don't really need anyway, and seek the face of God in prayer. Bring about the results that I need in my life, and bring about the results that America needs in her life. My mama used to get after us kids every now and then and say, "You're getting too big for your britches." And when you get too big for your britches, that's a dangerous place to find yourself in. Let's add another strand. I'd like to add the strand of obedience. That you and I are to obey God. We're to obey God in the things that he wants us to know and to do. And that obedience is so important for us to get a hold of. Listen to what he says here in the book of Titus. "Remind the people," Titus, he's another preacher, "to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do what is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and show to humility toward all men." You see, what we're doing with one another is we're picking at one another. We're aiming at one another. Sometimes another person has become your enemy. And God's reminding Titus to tell the people, be subject to the rulers and the things that's going on in authorities. Be obedient. He's not asking us to go against God, but he's asking us to realize, you know, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are God. And then he's saying, you know what? You're bringing more harm upon yourself when you don't realize that criticizing and that finding fault and all that other things that we do with one another, that's not the obedience the way God has designed for us to live. And he wants us to live in that obedience that he's given to us, that we might understand that that's something that he wants to bring about in each one of our lives. Obedience is something we learn. Something we learn sometimes the hard way, by being disobedient and suffering the consequences. I believe it's easier for the human race to be disobedient than it is to be obedient. But God has called us to be obedient. God has called us to a lifestyle of obedience, not only to God, but to obey one another in the ways we should obey one another. To obey the leadership of our nation in the way we should obey. This has to do with the moralness of our life and the idea of what we have from him. And we need to know that he's calling us to this idea of being obedient before him. There's still one more strand before we spell the word freedom. And then we realize that we've put together the 7 strands of rope so that you and I can ring the bell of freedom. Morality is the M. It says, morality is ethics of what is good or right. God's word could be said this way: righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Sin is a disgrace to any people. I realize today we don't look as sharply at sin as we used to, but God is saying, now listen, righteousness exalts. This idea of wickedness and sinfulness, it tears down. It destroys. This last strand is the idea that the morals of righteousness exalts, but sin destroys. I say this gently, but I say it firmly. America's biggest enemy is America herself. A long time ago, someone came to America to see what made her great. He saw she was good. But he said, if she ceases to be good, she ceases to be great. Think of that for a moment. If America ceases to be good, she ceases to be great. Is that not true in our lives? We cease to be good. We cease to be great. There's so many things that you and I have to decide in our life. Is that wrong or is that right? Is that exalting or is that tearing down? And sometimes we've allowed those things that tear down to be more in control than that which builds up. And when we come to that place, we come to that time, we come to that place in the road where then we know we need it to be something more. But what a beautiful way to ring the bell for freedom. What a beautiful way to ring the bell for freedom in the realization that you and I have come to the place to know that what it is faith. It is accepting responsibility. It's being energized. It's being exercised. It's all of those kinds of things together that makes this to become all that it should become in your life and mine as an individual. And God is reminding us that that is so important for us to get a hold of and to let it become a part of our own individual life. But there's one more thing I'd like to share with you in closing. If we're going to ring this bell with this nice strong rope we've just built, we've woven it all together. It's not just one of those things that'll make it happen. It is the weaving together of those things. I remember a story I read a long time ago. Father and his son was on a vacation. And they stopped by. It was an old church that had been closed for a long time. And they went into the old church and looked around. And as they looked around, they see that the church was covered with dust. They see that their things had been let to go and it was coming to decay and ruin. And all of a sudden when they walked into the entrance part there, the little boy noticed there's a rope hanging down from the belfry. And the little boy said to his daddy, "Daddy, ring the bell." Daddy at first said, "Oh, son, I don't know as we should." And so he did. And when he rang the bell, and he rang it again and again, because he said, "Ring it again, Daddy, ring it again." And pretty soon the door came open, and two people came in. And pretty soon two more came in. And pretty soon two more came in. You see, it was a Sunday, and they thought there was going to be a service. And that little boy and that little dad on their vacation, from that time on, that church door opened and the bell was rung. And as the ringing of the bell brought to people, I say to you, the ringing of the bell can bring joy to your heart and life. But before I go, there's one more thing that I shared in my little devotion on Saturday. It's the idea that on this 4th of July weekend, I want us to consider the fact that God would remind us of a picture that I have. It's a beautiful picture. It's a picture of the Bell of Liberty. The flag stands there. And then Jesus is knelt down by the bell, by the crack. And Jesus is trying to repair the crack that is in the Liberty Bell. I got to tell you, folks, from my heart to yours, that picture has always spoken to my heart. And if you get on Facebook, get onto my page. If you haven't seen that picture, get onto my page. Pastor Ken Harger, that'll get you onto my page. And then you get onto my page, see that picture of Jesus repairing the bell so that others might have this bell to ring with clearness. I got to tell you, I believe that's a part God wants to play in America's life. That part that God wants to play is the part of repairing what is wrong with us as a nation. And you know how he repairs that? He repairs you and he repairs me, someone has said. As the people go, so goes the nation. And I think God is saying to us, let us come to that point where we'll realize that we have a responsibility to bring about the healing of America if we're not a part of her problem. I need to say goodbye, so thank you, first of all, to Court Warner Premium Truck and Auto for your financial support. Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of your husband, Fran, thanks for your support. Gay London, in memory and honor of your husband, Dave, thanks for your support. Doug and Noreen Lane, in the Sheridan area, thank you so much for your financial support. And as we come to a conclusion of our time together this morning, got one more song I'd like to have us sing. I'm not going to sing it for you. I just want you to listen to it. I made the mistake of saying sing. I'm not a singer, folks. I know what I'm capable of doing, and I also know what I'm not capable of doing. But this song is saying, in God we still trust. And you know, that's my prayer from my heart, that America, in God we still trust. And that would be something that would be a part, if I can do anything in my will and power to help America trust more in God, I would want to do that. So let's listen to this song as I go on my way, and God bless you and your family. I trust it'll be a time of enjoyment with one another this 4th of July, but I also trust it'll be a time to think about God and what he's come to do in your life and what he wants to do in America's life. So let's listen to this song. Maybe even do a little bit with them. In God, we still trust. We can say amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Place your hand on his Bible when you swear to tell the truth. His name is on our greatest monuments and all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt where we stand. There's no separation. We're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time.